This is Megatron. This is the glorious Megatron. And this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast features Stephen C. Phillips, Mike Blanchard, and Michael Wilson.
Hello and welcome to the world's first ever Beast Wars Beast Machines review podcast. This is the Beast Unleashed podcast brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, TFG and Mike, and I'm joined by Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. And we killed Steve Megatron.
His cold, rotting corpse is half buried in the backyard even as we speak.
Yes, and he's spraying DNA all over himself.
Ew.
Today we will be covering three more episodes of Beast Wars Season 1. And before we get into the reviews or the general chat here, we got our first review on iTunes by one of the listeners, Godspeed. He writes, "The title of the review is The First of Its Kind, a fun and lighthearted review of the 90s classic Beast Wars show. The geeks involved dig into the characters, toys, and history of this cult Transformers offering. Give it a try." So thank you, Godspeed, for that.
Nice.
Very, very much appreciated. Everybody should be leaving us iTunes reviews. It's the best way to help the show. What's been going on with you, Mr. Wilson?
Not a whole lot. Did I mention that Aiden graduated from preschool?
I read the blog post.
Oh, okay, fantastic.
I think. Didn't you write a blog post?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was recommended that he's at his age level for speech, so he's no longer going to speech therapy. Well, we'll have him checked out again when he's 5, but we've got a ways to go yet until then. So
that's 2 years, right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so right now he's just, he's only taking his private preschool classes. Oh. Everything else he's done with. So he has gradumacated.
He's gradumacated. That's funny. Has the vacuum gotten tired yet?
No, he's just stubborn as usual.
No, I meant the vacuum from having the kid riding on it all the time.
Oh, I thought you meant the vacuum rider.
Well, that too.
Which is like a Kamen rider, except
Boy, we're not getting into that, because this episode will be released way before ToyCast episode 50. We will save that.
Oh.
You gotta admit, though, that was original. I mean...
Yeah, okay.
At least he put effort into it.
Oh, yes. I mean, you know, you can't account for taste.
Yes. I've just been podcasting my butt off. We've got, I think I'm up to about 90% of ToyCast 50 done. We did the segment where we announced the winner. ToyCast 50 will actually mark the Geekcast Radio's first ever more than 4-person call. I had myself and 5 other people on a call for the Radio Free Cybertron segment. Surprisingly, it went very well. Not saying that's going to happen all the time in the future, but it's the 50th episode. I was trying to go for something a little bit bigger.
Yeah. Well, we don't normally give away toys either.
That's true, too.
Didn't hurt.
We normally give away all Spark Almanacs.
Yeah, that too.
Yes. Let's see, what else have I been up to? I've actually been getting my podcasting hat very, very wet, because I'm going to have another geek show on.
Your hat?
Whatever.
Your hat is wet? What is that a euphemism for, exactly?
Nothing. Get your dirty old man mind out of the freaking gutter. I would have said chops, but you would have taken that somewhere else, too.
Wet choppers?
Oh, God, see? This is just so wrong. Anyway, No, I just, you know, through the magic of Twitter and Facebook and all that happy crap, which a lot of people don't like. Well, especially Twitter, a lot of people don't like it or don't understand it or don't
really
care. Well, just from what I've heard, not like a lot of people that use it, but a lot of people that don't use it, that have just heard rumors about it.
I think it's pretty mainstream by now. I didn't realize there were people who didn't use Twitter. That's odd.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, through that, I've made some more podcasting friends. I'm actually probably going to have them on an episode of Geekcast Radio. Probably Monday, I think. I don't know what the topic will be off the top of my head at this point, but the day this goes up, we'll be recording that episode of Geekcast Radio podcast. Let's see, just the usual stuff, Tooncast and M-Wire, and, you know, just planning for this 50th episode for Toycast. Other than that, not much else is really going on with me. Yeah, I think that...
Yeah. Sounds like you're busy.
No. I you know, honestly, you know, as much as I joke about, you know, what the hell were Steve and I thinking running an entire network of podcasts, honestly, even though it does take time and effort for the most part, it's really not a lot of time, especially with the fact that we've built up backlogs. Like Tooncast, I have that backlogged all the way up to episode 51, and we just released episode 44. So, yeah, and Toycast, that's backlogged up to episode 55, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, hell, you were in two of them.
A couple of them, yeah.
Yeah. I think episode 53 is going to be our finest hour.
Really? Was I in that one?
Yes. That was the one where we did the ending with the Scholastic and the animated kids version of the Almanac.
Oh, yeah, I gotta do a review of that.
Yeah, you do. YouTube video now.
Yeah.
Well, not right now. Not as we're doing this. But
not right this second.
Yeah, now, like this weekend. Get it done.
I will get around to it eventually.
Yeah, huh. Just like you'll get around to opening all those damn toys you have stacked up in your office.
One of these days.
You keep telling yourself that, and you're going to end up, you know, 60 years old saying, oh my god, I've had these toys for 30 years and I still haven't opened them.
Exactly. They're pristine and mint in box.
Hell, by that time, they'll probably be worth actual money.
They might be. You know, never know. Who wants these 30-year-old movie toys? Oh, me. I'll take that.
They'll be on Transformers 44 by then.
Exactly. Generation 41. It's like, man, I feel really old. I thought thought it was bad when Generation 40 came along, and where's my Viagra?
Yeah, watch out for the year 2015. We're going to run into some issues there.
The Chupacabra attack.
All right, so we are going to get into some episodes today.
DNA sequencers online. The activation sequence has already begun. I must work fast. Maximal programming chip cannot be accessed. Pausing DNA scan. New programming accepted. Scanning for compatible life forms.
Now, all I have to do is...
Compatible life form found. Beginning replication.
No! What's wrong? My intent was to create another of our kind, but the pod's computer has already selected a form.
Can't you stop it?
No! But whatever it is, it will be a Predacon.
Another insect. How depressing. Are you sure it's a Predacon?
I am Tarantulas, your creator. Identify yourself.
Spiders! Dare invade the colony! Inferno, terrorize!
Incoming!
Destruction to all who threaten us! The royalty commands it!
First up today is Spider's Game. Oh, crap.
Why crap?
Just by the title, I can already tell I'm not going to like this one.
I don't think that's the case. I mean, I like Tarantulas, and he's a spider. Mm-hmm. And I like Black Arachnia, and she's a spider.
I like her later on. I don't like her in these early episodes.
She's very flirtatious in this one.
Towards Tarantulas, which is just nasty and disgusting.
Yeah, because it occurred to me in this episode that neither one of them have hands.
Yeah, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's kind of weird looking.
So, the original air date for this was January 6th, 1997, and it was written by Larry DiTilio. From his lair, Tarantulas discovers a stasis pod descending from orbit, so he disables power at both the Axelon and the Dark Side, so he can reach the protoform first. Black Arachnia appears and offers her services, and the two spiders set out to the pod's landing site. Unaware that Tigatron has also headed there, Tarantulas' plan to reprogram the nascent Maximal as a Predacon and to alter the stasis pod DNA scan so that the new Predacon beast mode is an arachnid, making this new recruit more loyal to Tarantulas than to Megatron. Dun dun dun!
Hasbro wouldn't allow it because they already had two spiders.
Oh, really?
No, I have no idea.
Oh, okay. Wow, okay.
That makes sense, though. I don't think they made any more spiders after that. I mean, they kept remaking Black Arachnia over and over and over again, but...
Well, yeah, but she gets better with time.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, she's like a fine wine.
By the time you get to Transformers Animated, she's got a ponytail.
Ah!
Kind of rocks, yeah.
Okay, then. Yeah, I threw a rock at him. that's a Batman the Animated Series reference that some people will get and some people won't get.
I was going to take it one further and say, I got a rock. Which some people will get, some people won't get.
Yeah, it's probably a Monty Python thing.
No, it's a Snoopy thing.
Oh yeah. Okay, yeah. We've had so many technical difficulties trying to get this episode recorded that, yeah, my brain is fried. So, yeah. I got a rock.
I got a rock.
Poor Charlie Brown. Notes. I have,
two notes.
No, I actually have more than that. I have almost a full page, but it's done up between a half page and the top page of the next page, if that makes any sense.
Wow.
Megatron always assuming the Maximals are doing something.
What do you mean?
That was when the power went out. He said those Maximals must be making a sneak attack.
Yeah, well, I mean, he wouldn't expect Tarantulas right offhand, and neither would the Maximals. But
well, the Maximals wouldn't. Megatron should.
Megatron, yeah.
Another moment where neither Transformer says "terrorize" before transforming. This is in relation to. Tarantulas and Black Arachnia when they transform into spider mode after leaving, or as they're leaving his lair.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, it's just a little nitpick, but it's like, holy crap, ever since we started this show, everyone, for the most part, and I'm sure the Maximals have done this too, I just haven't noticed it yet, but everyone has said terrorize or maximize
right.
before transforming.
Right.
It's just one of those things. It's
kind of like an activation code.
It is an activation code. I mean, they even call it an activation code in Beast Wars Part 1 or Part 2, where Dinobot says, I've already changed my activation code.
Right.
Wastinator Splat Alert. Ooh, I love these. Airazor shoots his wings off.
Clips his wings.
I like how his eyes bug out, no pun intended.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. See, now, I noticed the slapstick with Tigatron, where Waspinator shoots him right in the sack, and he goes flying.
Yeah.
And when he hits the ground, he kind of looks up, and he's got tweet, 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 tweet.
Yeah, yeah.
I could do without that, to be honest. I thought that was kind of lame. But, you know, it might be pre-programmed into their skull that, you know, whenever they get knocked unconscious, they get a time that sounds like birdies. Yeah.
Which
would be lame, too. But
I don't know if you recall my comment 2 weeks ago about Airazor's eye scanner thing mode, her iris moving around in her eye.
Yeah.
Well, this time around, we have her sonic scan eye. It's much less creepy than the one 2 weeks ago.
It's so less creepy that I didn't even notice.
Exactly. See, I pick up on all the little things for the most part. Airazor is awesomely badass against Waspinator, but she gets blindsided by Black Arachnia. Bad form. It's right after she nixes Waspinator.
Yeah.
No. Waspinator shoots something, shoots a missile at her, and she just kind of like backhands it.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, Black Arachnia comes out of nowhere from behind, and she gets. Basically, my point is, Airazor is meant to look super badass, like she can handle whatever.
And yeah.
Here comes this spider up behind her.
Along up behind her.
Along up behind her came this spider. Oh, that doesn't rhyme at all. Holy crap! I need to stop with the whole trying to be that crappy wheelie piece of shit. All right, Inferno's first appearance. What was that?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Why is Inferno crazy?
Because he's an ant and he's obsessed with the colony.
Yeah, but why? Is it because he's an ant?
Yes.
Okay. All ants are crazy. Is that what we're saying? I just didn't quite get it. I'm like, okay, well, now they reprogrammed him to be a Predacon, but now he's insane.
Well, it works later on. For the most part, his insanity works for the comedy relief part. I don't know the whole inner workings of an anthill, but the best thing I can equate it to is bees, where you have the queen bee, worker bees, drones, and that whole type of thing. Maybe this is the same thing. I mean, hell, later on we will get him calling Megatron my queen and royalty and all that.
Yeah.
I do wish he would stop calling me that.
Yeah, but I kind of like the fact that he doesn't have his own internal agenda. He's not, you know, another pterosaur who wants to be in control. He's not another Tarantulas who has his own thing going that has nothing to do with power. It's just, well, maybe it does have anything to do with power, but not overtly.
No.
Not like Pterosaur. Not the Starscream way. But
yeah.
Just the,
oh, no.
You know, sneaky, underhanded kind of way. So, I mean, Inferno's got his own twisted personality.
He's got his own twisted personality. I would say that he does not have an agenda. Honestly, if I was comparing him to anyone outside of his psycho part,
yeah,
I would compare him to G1 Shockwave. Because he is like overtly loyal to Megatron. He's kind of like another Scorponok, but with the Waspinator comic part. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like you fusored Waspinator and Scorponok together.
Okay.
And you get Inferno. All traitors to the colony must burn.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. He says, he's like, you will burn, Maximal. And I'm thinking, this guy is cool.
Yeah, he is kind of cool.
This is just a cool guy.
I'm not really too thrilled with his alt mode, but I can overlook it. It's not as bad as the spiders. And speaking of the spiders, ew, liquid butt juice, yuck. Oh, God, I almost could not watch the rest of the episode after I saw tarantula spewing crap out of his ass.
It's a tow cable.
No, I don't
care.
It didn't
help that he was, like, straining. He's like,
I know. It's like he was trying to fart out web shooters.
Oh, it was bad. But it seemed like there was a lot of stuff coming out of people's butts today. Mm. I mean, Tarantulas has his towing web, and Inferno's flight mode is just, you know, it's like Duty Man.
Yeah.
He's just, he's kind of like, I ate my beans today, and then he flies off. Yeah, I was surprised that there wasn't more butt extrusion going on in this episode.
Well, let's move on from that. Whoopsie, Tarantula's plans foiled, and that was when, I think it was Inferno that blew up the colony, or Megatron did, or somebody blew up.
Tigatron blew it up.
Oh yeah, Tigatron blew up the stasis spot.
Tigatron's like, you're not getting any maximal secrets today.
Oh yeah, that's right. As I was watching the episode, I made a note that I'm noticing that this is really, it's more of a Predacon episode than there's hardly any Maximals that show up. I mean, yeah, Tigatron and Ares are there, but not until the end do you actually see the rest of the crew.
Yeah, I think that they're really trying to build a dynamic between Tarantulas and Black Arachnia in this episode.
Well, yeah, she was hanging all over him.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the beginning it was really funny. Because, you know, after Tarantulas takes everybody out, right?
Yeah.
He's in his lair, and he's like, I just took everybody out. And Black Arachnia sneaks up behind him. And he acts like he just got caught watching porn. You know, he's like, and he's like hiding. He's hiding his monitor. Like, no, you can't see what's on my monitor, you know. Mm-hmm. And Black Arachnia is like, how about I help you? And I'm thinking, bow chicka wow 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 wow. She's gonna help him watch porn.
Wow.
Well, you know, if you've never had a girl help you watch porn, it's
I guess anything's better than spider cat rape.
Spider cat? What?
Spider cat rape.
Oh, spider, yeah. Maybe he was
No, just no. Just no. Don't even.
Spider cat.
Okay, my final note.
That sounds like a Guar song.
You and your Guar. My final note is, poor Scorponok, but I love Megatron throwing Inferno's head at him. Also, this shall start a count of Inferno's splats, and I am putting Steve in charge of that whenever he revives himself from the backyard.
Zombie Steve.
Yes. So that's all I have for this one.
Oh. Well, something that you may not have noticed. Is this the first stasis pod that hasn't crashed? Because this one actually has, like, thrusters, and it lands nicely on the ground and actually is able to scan things around it without being broken. Scans the anthill, which just happens to be right next to it.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing there. Because you see the anthill, and it's like, oh, he's going to be an ant.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
But there was no crashing involved this time.
Right.
The last several times it's been a race to fix the broken pod.
Right.
Find the pod before stasis lock or something.
The only way I could argue it would be that when the ship crashed, the Axelon crashed in Beast Wars, the Beast Wars two-parter, they kind of like fell open. The stasis pod. So I'm assuming that the original five or six or however many there are, or four or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that their stasis pods remain intact. But I don't actually know. I believe you're right. This is the first one that we've actually seen land successfully.
Up to this point, I thought they were just supposed to crash.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they had their own propulsion and stuff.
Yeah. I did like, however, though, you mentioned the anthill.
Yeah.
I like how Tarantulas has caught another spider and put it in almost like a bird cage. Well, no, it wasn't a bird cage. It was almost like a, kind of like one of those glass jars that you would see a porcelain figurine in.
Yeah.
Like a ballerina thing. And he goes to put it up on the thing. And I'm thinking about this as I'm watching it. I'm like, wait. You should have done that fucking before you even started before you started taking the damn chip out of the thing. He goes to put it up. Life form has been found. No! You monk.
I wonder where he pulled it from.
I don't want to know. Yeah, I really don't want to know.
That's why the towing web was all stuck up in there.
Yeah, stop it.
Stop. You know, everyone was a much better shot in this episode.
Yeah, a lot of more character development outside of the main Maximal team, because like I said, you don't see them until the end.
Yeah.
This is mainly a Predacon / Tigatron - Air Razor episode, because you very rarely see Primal and the rest of them until, right,
until the very end. Yeah. I was really surprised, too, because Primal actually had one line. Rhinox got a cameo. He just kind of stood there. He didn't actually say anything.
Yeah.
Unfortunate. I take that character.
Not sure. One of the episodes today that we will be discussing, I don't know if it's this one or any of the other two, but I believe it was said that it was the only episode in Beast Wars on the wiki that said that one of these episodes, I don't remember which one, was the only episode where Scott McNeil only voiced one character, which was Waspinator for the most part. But
oh, that's right, no Dinobot this time.
Yeah. Yeah, because Dinobot shows up in the next two episodes, yeah. You have any other notes?
Well, I noticed this was at least the second time that Tigatron's had his ass handed to him.
Oh, yeah.
In recent memory. But he had a really nice damage model this time around. And I know I point this out every time somebody gets blown up really good, but, you know, after they catch him at the second time and just, you know, put the smack down on him, he just looked really, really tore up. That was cool.
Yeah.
And he actually alluded to the fact that he might have almost died. Because he said, oh, well, Air Razor saved you. And he says, well, that's another of my 9 lives I owe her.
Yeah.
It's like, well, no, oh, that's what I was thinking. He got his ass handed to him twice in this episode. So it wasn't just, you know, twice recently. It was twice in one episode that he gets beat up.
Yeah. I don't know. I like Tigatron's robot mode.
Yeah.
But I'm just not a fan of him, really. I can't really pinpoint what I don't like about him, but I'm rooting for Cheetor. Hell with Tigatron.
Two completely different characters, though.
Oh, true. I was gonna say, give me Hot Cheetor Rod.
Hot Cheetor.
Well,
Hot Cheeto Rod.
No, not Hot Cheeto Rod. Hot
Cheetor Rod.
Yeah, Cheetor Rod.
He's the cheesiest.
Oh, yeah. Christ, we are not going into Cheetos commercials, please. We
you know the
after the molesting cheetah here.
You know what's really creepy is the Cheetos commercials I've had lately have had this like animatronic looking, almost Ray Harryhausen-esque Chester Cheetah, who's about 2 foot tall and kind of standing next to people and interacting with them, and it's really creeping me out.
See, I haven't even seen a Cheetos commercial in forever, so...
Oh, God, is it creepy, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, digressing. Yeah, so Tigatron gets a nice damage model, and the Axelon gets a snow model.
Yeah, I did notice that. That was kind of awesome.
That was cool. I was like, you know, they're really pulling all the stops here. I think because they didn't have as many characters this time around, they were able to add some new models that we haven't actually seen before, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was kind of cool, I think. Of course, after that one scene where we see the snow model, it immediately goes back to the normal landscape, though, I think.
Oh, did it?
I thought it did. I don't know. I'd have to go back.
After that, I think they actually went inside the ship, which was normal.
Right.
Nothing
no.
There.
But
there's no
as
inside the ship.
I could have sworn, as the episode closed, I thought they shot out of the ship. I thought the camera went out of the ship as it closed, but I don't know. One of the things I'm noticing, I don't know if it was this episode or if it's any of the ones we're going to talk about today, they sometimes when they do a comedic ending, they will use like the Looney Tunes clothes with the circle.
Okay.
Like, say you have a scene with Optimus, Cheetor, Rhinox, and Rat Trap.
Yeah.
And say they're saying a joke about Dinobot.
and they all have a chuckle in the.
And they all have a chuckle, and as the fade out goes in, as the fade out happens, it fades out into a circle, and it kind of goes bloop, and the circle closes, and then it goes to the credits. So that kind of reminds me of Looney Tunes a little bit.
I didn't even notice that.
I'll have to get
this particular fade out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked the Black Arachnia flirtiness at the end. Where, you know, she's like, we should have worked together, lunatic. And Black Arachne goes, bitch.
No. You got it all wrong. It's she calls him a lunatic and he calls her a witch.
He wanted to say bitch, though.
Probably, but it was...
That's the way I heard it.
Yeah, well, you're a dirty old man, so...
Well, yeah... He could have been a little more elaborate. That's not really dirty.
True. any other notes on this one?
No, I think that about covers it. I mean, it was a good episode.
All right.
I like to see Tarantulas, being schemey.
Any episode schemey. That doesn't have Tarantulas is my favorite episode.
You just got a thing against spiders.
Damn right. All right, we are going to move on.
Hear me, fellow Maximals. I know you are frightened, but I can help. Access Maximal Core Consciousness. Passcode, Tigatron. Silence! That's better. Now listen well and learn.
Oh, come on. You can't tell me old Megs would have forgotten a booby trap. You gotta love him. Now. If only Stripes is doing okay.
Once we were merely robots in disguise. But on this planet, we Maximals have become something more. Maximal programming was designed to block our beast urges. But that has proven to be an error. Our beast forms are part of us. Fighting their nature only made them stronger. We must accept both beast and robot forms. Feel your core consciousness. Find the programming block and delete it. Bring your beast and robot forms together. Let them work in harmony. And let them both make you stronger than you were before.
Programming block deleted. Programming block deleted. Programming block deleted. Programming block deleted.
Yes. I understand.
Rat, robot. Rat, robot. I'm a robot and a rat. Yeah, I like it.
I do not see why.
I get it now. Oh, thanks, Tigatron. Whoa, and talk about your nick of time.
Up next is Call of the Wild. In this, this original air date was January 7th, 1997. It was written by Bob Forward. Very cool. During a Predacon attack on the Axelon, Megatron sends Pterosaur and Waspinator inside the ship to steal an Energon shielding component. Without it overloading, the effects of the planet's energon fields begin to wear away at the Maximals. They stay in beast mode to lessen the effects, but over time, the Maximals begin to lose their personalities and intelligence as their animal instincts take over. Dun dun dun.
Ta-da.
Yeah. We don't need notes from the peanut gallery on that. Yeah, it's just supposed to be dun dun dun. That's it. No, we don't need the rest of the note.
Is there? Stop. All right. Call of the Wild.
Yes. The Predacons.
Trouble with the neighbors again.
Yeah. The Predacons can sure shoot very well in the beginning battle. That's a change from aimless firing.
Yeah, I mentioned in Spider's game, everybody seemed to be a better shot. I mean, they were just, boom, one hit, one kill, right? And it all went away this episode.
Well, the beginning battle, they did an excellent job of hitting a lot of the auto guns. Maybe not really hitting the actual Maximals, but in that beginning battle, they did hit a lot of the defenses.
I kind of chalk that up to luck, because, I mean, they are basically just shooting for 10 minutes straight and didn't actually hit the guns until almost toward the end.
Wow.
So it was like, oh, they just happened to hit it. Damn.
Oh, okay. No, I'm listening to what you're saying, but I'm looking at one of my other notes, and I just I just now realized what the hell the note means. Okay. Megatron on the chair and the tribal drums is funny as hell. Because they're walking through the jungle and they're carrying him like an Egyptian tribal thing, or I don't know.
No, Indian, it's like in Africa where they...
Yeah. Safaris. There we go, safari.
Tonight we hunt.
Yes. This episode focuses on Optimus and Rhinox's butts way too damn much. Oh, God. It's like every shot of them, like, actually being the wild animals they are butt shots. I kid you not.
You're just way too familiar with Optimus's ass.
No.
How many times do we have to see the monkey butt?
Well, you got your monkey signed.
That's right. My monkey was signed, but not on his butt.
Let's hope not. Of course,
Gary Chalk, rub my monkey's butt.
Yeah. Well, that would...
It didn't happen like that, no. There was no rubbing your butt involved.
The beast-to-bot ratio learning begins here, laying seeds for the future.
Oh, God.
What? That was an awesome note! Come on! I'm writing comedy gold here! Come on!
Yeah.
I'm tired of living.
That was nicely foreshadowed, sir.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. At the end, after they finally get that programming chip deleted. Okay, that's fucking cool. The Rhinox Rat Trap double team. When they're fighting at the end. Oh my
god. When he just wings a rat at him?
Yeah! And then Rat Trap does like a triple flip backspin, half axle, quarter axle, whatever the hell he did.
Between his legs.
Yeah, it was just fucking cool.
You know, I might be spoiled as far as, you know, watching Transformers, regular Transformers, less like a car, you know, rushing at an enemy in car mode, transforming just before they hit, and then tackling him, and then throwing him to the ground, spinning, turning back into a car, and spinning around him again.
Not today, Galvatron.
Exactly. And that's what I'm used to. So for me to see Rat Trap being flung through the air in rat mode, and then spin, transform, turn around, and shoot somebody, that is old hat almost. I don't see that as a big deal.
See,
but
to
here
me,
it's like, haha, look what we can do.
Well, exactly. See, to me, it plays into what I was going to say Terracon or Taiga, Terrasaur. I don't know. I was trying to make some weird combination between Terrasaur and Tigatron. But when Tigatron was telling them all this stuff about deleting that Maximal programming thing, I thought it was very cool. Yes, we have seen it before, the whole, you know, do a super move and then turn around and do another one. But it goes to show you how well Rhinox and Rat Trap complement and anticipate each other in battle, I think.
It was well done.
When they get a chance to work together.
It was almost as if they had planned it that way.
Well, yeah, they probably did.
Well, I don't know that.
That's the last note I have, because, yeah, I just ended up watching this one after a while. Overall, I really don't like this one.
I'm surprised you didn't break out the Waspinator splat alert.
I didn't see it. Where was it?
He gets hit by a tree.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Rhinox picks up a tree and whacks him with it.
Well, at least, that's why I didn't notice it. He didn't put a Gatling gun up his butt.
Oh, yeah. No, he didn't get the Gatling gun, but he got wood.
Ew. Okay, we don't need wasp on wood.
Wasp on wood. Knock, knock. Knock, knock on Waspy's back door. It's my wood. All right. Cheetor had his foreshadowing dreams again. His ESP dreams.
Did he?
In the beginning, he woke up from a dream that, or I should say, a nightmare.
Oh, yeah, but that ties in specifically to this episode, though. That's not a...
Right, but it was something... It was kind of like when... what was the episode where he had to plug into Rhinox's core consciousness, or...
That was the... where Rhinox shut him down. That was when they were going to save Air Razor.
Yeah, so he had a dream there that was pertinent to the same episode. And here he is sleeping again, and he's having a dream pertinent to the same episode. Well, hasn't happened yet, but it did later on.
Now that you bring that up, I love it when he wakes up and he runs into the control room. Okay, Philobots, I'm here. What do you need? Rattrap's like, well, it would be good if you transformed. Oh, yeah, Cheetor, maximize. He forgot to transform.
I'm just kind of clueless. But then Dinobot comes over and just scoops him up by the scruff of the neck, you know, and like a kitten, and just carries him off. I thought Dinobot looked a lot bigger than than Cheetor at that point.
Well, they're not the same scale at all. Dinobot is bigger than a lot of them. I think Dinobot is the biggest out of those two, obviously, and then obviously Rhinox and Optimus in robot mode are bigger than he is, but I don't know.
He looked about a third bigger than Cheetor there, but then when they were outside, he was about a head taller.
Ah.
Which seemed about right, but when you know, Dinobot come along and just scooped him up like that, I thought, wow, he's looking kind of small. What happened there?
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
Kind of strange. But, you mentioned Megatron. His Tonight We Hunt episode there.
Yes.
But I was surprised that he didn't have like a pith hat, like khakis, like a musket, you know. Well, he had a rifle.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, he wasn't like, colonial, British colonial Africa or anything. I kind of thought that would have been cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that boiled down to another sci-fi rehash of The Most Dangerous Game. You ever read The Most Dangerous Game?
I doubt it.
Okay. You've heard the premise before. It's literally an island that there's a rich hunter that lives on the island, and whenever a ship lands on the rocks, then whoever survives the crash, right, they get captured. And then the rich hunter hunts them.
Oh, wait.
Because man is the most dangerous game.
Oh, wait.
You've seen this 1,000 times.
No. You have no idea what I'm flashing to right now. Oh, my God. Lord Chumley.
Yeah, exactly.
G1. Yeah. Wow.
Right. That was the most dangerous, or a rehash of the most dangerous game. In fact, I think the episode was called The Most Dangerous Game. Or a dangerous game, or something like that.
I'd have to go back and look. You know, it's funny for everything, and honestly, no disrespect to Mr. Forward or to Mr. DiTilio, or eventually Mr. Skier down the line. everything that they've said in interviews that, oh, we didn't want to make it like the old series, or, oh, we didn't want to do this, or, oh, we didn't want to do that.
Yeah. All they borrow a lot of ideas.
Yes, they do. I'm not complaining about that. I like the tie-ins.
Yeah.
Obviously, especially when we get the, like, super in-your-face, hey, tie-in, this is Optimus Prime's face on fire.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Later on, you know, in Season 2, obviously, I enjoy it, but I find it very strange that they've said on the interviews on the DVDs, and I don't know if they've said it at conventions or not. You're the convention goer, not I, but it's like, they say all this stuff, and then yet again, here we have this series, and it may just be us fans reading into it, but the continuity is there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know so much about, you know, forward, but I want to say Bob Skeer, when he was doing Beast Machines.
Beast Machines, yeah.
Yeah, there was he did a blog where he would answer questions about it. And people would ask him questions, and he would answer. It's interesting to go back and read that because, well, you already know all the answers now because it's done and over with. But at the time, you know, it was people were like, you know, who's this particular Viacon general going to be? You know, oh, I'm not telling. You know, that type of thing. Now you know, but back then you didn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, interesting stuff. But he actually did say, yeah, we went back and did our research this time. And because they got things like the key to Vector Sigma and, you know, the Oracle, things like that that they drug out from you know, earlier lore.
Right.
But they, it's like, at what point did you go back and do your research? Because, you know, here we are not even, well, probably two-thirds of the way through the Season 1, and there's been an awful lot of you know, G1 references.
Yeah, very much so. What else for this is Call of the Wild.
Call of the Wild, right. The energon field buildup within the base caused by a stolen rectifier coil.
Yeah.
This is technobabble as plot is what this is. I'm waiting for Q to show up and you know, tell them tell them that, you know, Maximals are not fit to live because, you know, you know, whatever reason Q comes up with for them not to live.
Or, if you're going with the, instead of the classic Q, if you're going with the John Cleese Q, just wait for him to show up and say Rat Trap is a half it.
No, I was referring to the John Delancey Q from Star Trek Next Generation.
Oh. Well,
see, Steve would have gotten that, but
yeah.
Since
well, you said Q, not Cube.
No, he wasn't. His name's not Cube. He's Q.
Oh well,
John Delancey played a character named Q. He was an all-powerful, godlike character who just decided, I think in the first episode, in fact, that man was a nuisance and didn't deserve to live.
Well,
and it was up to Captain Picard to kind of argue the case of man in a court of intergalactic law or
yeah.
Cosmic law, almost.
Yeah, the only Q I know is the only Q that matters, which is Desmond Llewellyn, so...
yeah.
Anyway, well,
that was a Star Trek reference. Steve would have caught it. You know, no accounting for taste, again.
Shut up!
Yeah. But, yeah, the Maximals end up, you know, having animal dreams, because they're stuck in beast mode. And they all become more beast-like, but why... Why are all their animal dreams nightmares? Don't animals have normal dreams? Just like, here's me, I'm a bunny rabbit, I'm on a cloud, I'm dancing around and eating strawberries, you know? Their dreams are like, I'm being chased by eyeballs that scare me.
For a second there, I thought you were going to throw Snoopy into the bunny dream.
Snoopy can be there, sure, yeah. Snoopy's pleasant, yeah. You know, if Snoopy had big red eyes and was chasing you through the dark, that wouldn't be so pleasant. But, you know, it's like
then
Joe Wild Animal stalking his prey. But I just thought it was strange that they're having these dreams, and, you know, especially like Optimus, he's seeing these angry red eyes. It's almost like, you know, Halloween red eyes, you know, coming from the dark. Didn't even look like eyes, just kind of looked like almost like butterfly wings with spots in the middle. They were freaky.
Yeah, they were.
Freaking me out, man! Yeah. But, and Dinobot, you know, wakes... He's not so much waking up from his dream, but, you know, he's sleepwalking, I guess you would call it. Because, well, we'll get to that later, but he's sleepwalking and he's chasing Rat Trap around. He's like, I'm gonna eat ya! You know, and I'm thinking this is going to be awful. He's gonna eat Rat Trap, and then you know pick little bits of him out of his teeth and fling them on Optimus's face.
Ew.
What happened to Rat Trap? And Dinobot will say that's rather tense subject. Another slice, anyone?
Okay, yeah, knock that crap off. Yeah, I caught it bad time.
Caught it bad time.
Knock that crap off.
Nice.
Alright, anything else?
Yeah, okay.
No, I'm just trying to move it along here.
Alright, you know what? I'm just going to rattle on forever. The Maximals end up with red eyes because they're sleepwalking.
Yep.
And then, you know, we're getting back to the sleepwalking thing, and I don't want to say sleepwalking, but that's almost what it's like, because at the end, Tigatron gathers them all together and kind of overrides into their core consciousness.
Oh, he specifically says, access Maximal's core consciousness, passcode Tigatron, and
right. Almost
in unison, all six or seven of them, code accepted. It's like super speed of code accepted.
And they all go, oh, yeah, but the thing is that it's like we've seen Dinobot access Optimus's core consciousness while he was under.
Right.
So I'm thinking, man, so is that the deal? They're nightmaring, and they're having nightmares, but then they're all sleepwalking? Well, I mean, it seemed to me like they were awake. They were just kind of more beast than robot.
I like
their consciousness had become beast-like as opposed to them actually sleepwalking.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those.
It seems strange.
Yeah,
but why would you have red eyes while you're sleepwalking? It makes for a cool look, but
contacts.
I intend to walk in my sleep. I better put in my red contact. Or I was thinking my Marilyn Manson contact. I need one big white eyeball and one small black eyeball.
Oh.
I think I'm gonna go sleepwalking that. I gotta scare the fuck out of somebody.
Oh wow. I love how Tigatron just kind of like when he's rounding everybody up. I like how he just looks at them like really fiercely. Like it's almost like,
yeah.
and I hate to bring this up, but we just recorded Tooncast episode 51 for backlog. It's almost like he gave them the Care Bear stare.
The Care Bear stare.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I thought he just kind of moseyed on up and looked at him and goes, "You, come here." You know, I'm not going to argue with that. Sure, I'll follow your ass around for a bit. You. Yeah. You. Come here. Like, okay.
And that kind of that kind of comes into play with my earlier note of the ape and rhino butts.
Hey,
well,
you.
Because all you have. See is them.
Come here.
Yeah. Wow.
Sweet cheeks.
Wow.
Oh no! It's like how does the Care Bear stare tie into Optimus's ass? I don't get it.
No, not the care. No, when he was rounding them up, every shot that you saw of the group,
yeah,
Tigatron was in front. Optimus and Rhinox were heading up the rear with their giant asses right in the camera frame. It has nothing to do with the Care Bear stare.
Okay, good. Yeah, I was.
Yeah, no.
All this talk of ass is confusing me. I'm not sure where we're getting at here. Did you choose a quote of the episode?
Because
I got one.
Don't even remember. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Pterosaur. He says, "Hunting from the air with automatic weapons? Now that's a sport."
Oh, yeah, okay.
I thought that was. And in fact, I thought maybe that came from somewhere else. Maybe that he was quoting from somewhere. Because they do that from time to time.
Yeah.
And I Googled it, and there are like hundreds of responses, but they're all pterosaur quotes. People love this quote. People put it in their bylines. People put it in their, you know, their blogs, and it just pops up all over the place. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
But no, as far as I can tell, it doesn't actually come from anywhere. It only comes from pterosaur. But it was a funny line.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I figured if it actually came from somewhere, I would have noticed it in the TF Wiki, but...
Yeah.
They didn't mention it either. But it sounds familiar. Just not sure where.
It probably goes to some old hunting game from some TV show or something. Not the exact quote, but like, hunting in the early morning dawn, this is a sport, or hunting for... It all goes back to that whole thing of the ultimate game, which is hunting for humans or hunting for giant Optimus head.
Exactly, the most dangerous game.
I am Lord Chumbly. I want his head.
On my wall. Yeah.
Off with his head.
I have no idea why. I just want his head on my wall. Okay. Anyway, before we get into the obvious...
I want his head between my legs.
I was gonna say, you know, before it was like, who doesn't want a little head? Now it's like, who doesn't want a big head?
Oh God!
I don't know. I don't think I'm qualified to have a big head. I'm.
Okay. Yeah. Other notes.
Aside from my big head, no, I think that's about it.
Okay, so we're gonna move on.
Feel like I got hit by a whole Pred fleet. Diagnostic. The explosion must have knocked out my internal systems. Including my optic sensors. I'm blind!
My eyes! My eyes!
Dinobot?
Rhinox? Where are you, buddy? It's darker than the inferno out here!
Rhinox! Rat trap! Help me! I can't see!
What have they done to my eyes?
Rhinox, help me! What happened? Where are we?
Listen to me. You've all got to calm down.
Calm down? We can't see!
The Energon explosion contaminated our systems, our optical sensors, and just about everything else are offline.
So what do we do?
We've got to transform. It'll slow down the contamination and possibly regenerate our systems. Beast mode.
Beast mode.
Beast mode.
Beast mode.
Oh, Slick! That was weird! And I still can't see.
Me neither.
I'll tear Scorponok's processor up for this! And Waspinator's too!
It's worse than I thought. Our only chance is to make it back to the base.
Are you insane? How can we get to the base when we can't see?
There's more than one way to see, Dinobot. Besides, we don't have a choice. If we don't reach an R chamber in about 60 cycles, the contamination will put our sparks out for good.
And finally up today is the throwaway episode, Dark Voyage. Original air date was January 27th, 1997. It was written by Samuel Warren Joseph. Don't know who the hell that is, but...
He's probably blind.
Oh God, I hope not.
Yeah, because you're making fun of him now.
Well, I'm legally blind.
Do you find my handicapped very often? Is that like a recurring theme with you? Or?
Well, all right. Well, as far as the handicap go, I am one of them. I have a mild case of cerebral palsy, and this isn't news to anybody. I've mentioned this in my podcasting career before. I have a mild case of cerebral palsy. I am termed legally blind by the government, the state, whatever.
Really?
Without correction, I have 20/200 vision. With correction, with glasses, I have 20/60 vision.
Wow.
I can see stuff up close, but I cannot see stuff in the distance. Like, all right, say
I thought I had bad eyesight, to be honest.
Say you stop. Well, I have, along with the cerebral palsy, my condition with my eyes is called optic atrophy with nystigmatism. And optic atrophy is nerve damage to the eyes, to the optic nerve.
Yeah, yeah.
Which they don't have a surgery for.
No, you can't fix that.
So, all right, say I'm sitting here in my apartment, and there's a stop sign out by the trash can. I can see the shape, I can see the color, I can kind of make out the letters, but I can't actually read the word stop. I mean, yeah. I know, I'm not colorblind, I know the difference between colors.
Right.
And all that, but it's just
the distance. It's a stop sign, it's just the text you have trouble reading it.
It's the distance thing. So anyway, finally up today
is Dark Voyage,
which I already mentioned the title of it. Rat Trap, Cheetor, Dinobot, and Rhinox investigate a huge store of Energon, but come under attack by Waspinator and Scorponok. When the Energon is destroyed in the firefight, the Maximals take heavy damage from the resulting explosion, low on power, self-repair systems down, and worst of all, sightless, the beleaguered, and blind Maximals must somehow make it back to base. Dun dun dun. And of course, I was gonna say, of course, my first note, but that's actually my second note. First note was, you know, that explosion in the very beginning of the episode looked awfully like one you would see in a live-action film.
Yeah, I was actually thinking it was another Michael Bay moment.
No. Michael Bay needs to stop raping my childhood like Starscream raped Metal Bugs.
Yeah. No, it did. It looked like it was like, you know, like they actually pulled it directly out of, you know, some explosion fest.
Yes. Next note is Blinded Maximals. And I wrote that note as soon as Dinobot said, "Are you crazy? None of us can see!"
Yeah. Three blind mice.
Yes. That shot with Dinobot's mouth wide open and the white eyes, that was actually going to be the episode art for this episode.
That was very scary.
Yeah, it was one of the choices. The Inferno art actually won out, though.
I like the Inferno art better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Energon contamination can put out sparks. Really?
Can put out sparks. Well, it's just like, I thought it was more like a poison. I mean, it, just like with regular people, if poison goes too far, it's going to kill you.
Okay. All right, I can see that, but, yeah. All right.
Okay.
No, I can see the point now, but just when Rhinox said it in the episode, I'm like, really?
Okay. Yeah. Well, probably, you know, up until now, every time they're worried about Energon, it's because of Energon overload, and they just transform, and they're okay. But, you know, here I don't think it was the same thing.
It wasn't because they had gotten contaminated from the explosion because they were sitting on a giant pile of Energon, and they have Energon poisoning or food poisoning or whatever. They ate too much Energon. No, they got drunk on Energon.
Energy! Yeah.
Krimzeek
wasn't drunk on Energon.
No, he's just feeding off energy. But anyway, Dinobot runs into a tree and gets flattened. This reminds me of Sludge's Looney Tunes moment in TFTM.
Yeah, they're not going to catch me, slam! Oh, that was dumb.
And it was nothing but a snake.
Well, no, that snake fucked him up pretty bad.
Well, the snake fucked up Cheetor pretty bad, but yeah. It's almost like a 3D version of Ka.
Trust in me.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
You don't like Disney, so you...
No, not really. I was thinking more like Ice-T and Anaconda.
Oh, okay, well, yeah, I don't like those movies, so, you know, whatever.
There's no spiders in those movies.
I don't like snakes either, so...
Oh, God.
Yeah. Anyway, thank God there are no snake transform.
There are some.
I don't want to know. Anyway.
I got a couple.
Oh, no, it was the flying scene. Okay. Waspinator getting revenge on Rhinox. Because when he was like... I think that actually may be one of the quotes for the episode. I may have grabbed that audio. I don't remember. But when he was flying, when they were on the bridge, close to the end of the episode, on the bridge, getting ready to cross.
Yeah.
He's like, "Ooh, I see Maximals. There's something wrong. They can't see."
Yeah.
So my note
in the barrel at that point.
Yeah, my note was Rhinox Waspinator getting revenge on Rhinox for all those Gatling gun blasts.
Oh yeah.
Two more here. It's palms up, everybody. It's Mystic Rhinox.
The Rhinox, the Zen Master.
Yes. this has got to be the best splat for Waspinator. Waspinator splat alert. He went skipping across the water like the Rock.
He did.
Douche, 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 douche.
I like that, and Pterosaur has a Team Rocket moment.
No, shut up. We're not doing...
Blasting off.
No, no.
Ding. Oh, but he didn't go ding. He hit the wall. Which was unfortunate, because I think I would have rather seen him go, ding. I like that. I think every episode should have a Team Rocket moment. What else you got?
That's it.
Oh. This is what freaked me out there, is that when they all fall in the water, I think Cheetor... no, I don't think it was Cheetor. But, yeah, it's like, what does it matter if they fall in the water? Because do they need to breathe? I don't know. I know earlier when Cheetor was being constricted by Ka, he actually said, "I can't breathe," because he was being squished.
Yeah.
Couldn't much talk either. But, yeah, I just thought it was strange. It's like, well, they're robots.
Corlett credit though for that voicing though, because that was pretty good voicing. I don't know what other stuff Ian James Corlett has done outside of Cheetor. I haven't looked at his IMDb recently, but I gotta give the guy credit for doing that, because not a lot of people can pull that off.
Yeah, no, it was well done. It was nicely done. Shard harness on Cheetor's back. I thought that was kind of... That's the first time we've actually seen him with any type of apparatus on him in beast mode. Which I thought was neat. But they're out there looking for Energon. It seems like every time the Maximals are out searching for Energon, they fall right into a trap.
Yeah, they probably do.
They should probably stop that.
Yeah.
I mean, send out, like, a drone or, one of those, you know, cassettes with an arm on the front of it that just pulls out Energon shards, you know, one of those deals.
Yeah.
Rather than actually going out and getting their ass handed them again.
Yeah. Oh, you mean like a Sentinel Prime shield?
A Sentinel Prime? What?
The giant... shield that Sentinel Prime has in animated that kind of morphs. It's kind of like a Green Lantern ring without the ring. That morphs.
Oh no! I was thinking about in G1. Soundwave has that drone cassette.
Oh yeah!
It pops out. It's got little wheels on it, and the little arm comes out of the top. But it's a cassette. Some garage shop just made a toy out of it, I think, last year.
Yeah, the cassettes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that reminds me of Oh, what was it? Oh, yeah. The burnt toaster. The burnt toaster bot. That's what the cassette drum.
Oh. Okay.
It, yeah. Deck door.
Maybe. this episode, I think, really shows what a great leader Rhinox could be.
Yeah.
If he were interested in being a leader, which I don't really think he is, but if he was, I think he'd be able to lead fairly well.
Of course, he would have to be in that mystic pose the entire time.
Exactly. He'd have to be in, like, Lotus Rhinox.
And he'd have to have the Chinese music accompanying him. Did you notice that?
When he's
in that pose? Yeah.
He's, like, doing yoga.
Yeah.
It's a rhino doing yoga. It was very messed up. But no, he keeps it real. You know, he's like, all right, everyone else is freaking out going, oh my god, oh my god. He's like, hey, calm down. It's going to be all right. We'll figure it out. And he leads everybody back. Well, not all the way back, but pretty close to back.
Yeah.
It worked out. But, you know, at the end, he's like, nope, I don't want to be leader. I'm just going to go smell some flowers.
Yeah.
He does that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I think it was a bit of a throwaway. There wasn't as much going on here. It's just no life or death decisions being made. Nothing really earth-shattering discovered. It was just...
Yeah, no, it was one of those things where it's kind of like another self-discovery episode, much like Call of the Wild was, where they can use their other senses type of thing.
I suppose. But, I mean, I think in Call of the Wild, toward the end, when they all discovered that they could be a robot and a beast at the same time, and they didn't have to be mutually exclusive.
Right.
And it may be the first time you'd seen Primal kind of like in robot mode beat his chest and roar, you know. And that kind of showed, oh, he's a robot, but he's still a beast, you know, and they can be the same at the same time. Whereas, and I think that shows itself later on.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're like, well, up to this point, we've just been a robot, or we've just been a robot that looks like a beast, you know. Whereas now, we're saying, in any future writings, we can take advantage of our beast selves.
Yeah.
Whereas up until this point, they didn't. So I mean, even that was expanding the writing a little bit. This episode, not so much. I mean, we prove we can smell. I can smell the water. I can smell the swamp. I think I hear shit going on over there. Let's go that way, you know. And which is nice, you know, that they've all got more than one sense. I'm thinking, Jesus, you're robots. Turn into robots. Use your internal radar and find your way home.
I know, but they couldn't.
Where's your GPS units, you know? I mean, come on, honestly.
The GPS units were broken. That's the whole point, though. That was the matrix of leadership in this episode. That was the plot device in this episode, because their internal organs were dead. The beast forms were not repairing themselves or repairing their robot forms because of the energon contamination. And every time they transform, it gets worse and worse and worse. So, yeah. Meh.
I suppose.
This is probably one of the only episodes that I will say of the entire Beast Wars 3 seasons that does nothing for continuity, furthering the story of the Beast Saga overall. Does nothing for continuity whatsoever.
Well, I think there's more than just this one.
Well,
there are, the bad ones are out there.
I'm sure. Oh no! Yeah. Well, I'm not saying there aren't, but I'm saying as far as this episode so far out of the ones we've covered, this one does the least as far as furthering the continuity of the show.
Oh, okay.
So, any more notes?
You know, oddly enough, I have this notebook that have all my notes from all the episodes in. And I was just looking through very quickly for the word throwaway. Because I was going to say, no, this episode is pretty much a throwaway up, and so is this one. But, offhand, I'm not seeing it. So, Other than that, no. I think that about covers. Oh, in my notebook are little pictures that Aiden drew for me. There's a little moon and a little sun. That's so cute. He's adorable. Okay, yeah, don't know. No, I think we're good.
All right, that'll be it for this episode. You will probably hear the quote of the episode, and then the outro.
You are listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast.
Where are they? With Scrap, man, with Scrap!
How can we hit what we cannot see?
Maximals, listen to me! Picture a targeting grid in your head, like the one we used in practice simulations. Do you see it?
This is absurd!
Concentrate. You can do it!
I can see it! Yeah,
me too, but...
They're coming in. Stand your ground and listen for my instructions.
Get ready!
Cheetor, Vector 537. Rat-Trap, Vector 542. Dinobot, Vector 554. On my mark... Fire!
Not possible!
This is Megatron, and you're listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast. Oh, yes.
This is one of two quotes of Episode 7.
Hunting from the air with automatic weapons! Now that's a sport!
This is the second of two quotes of Episode 7.
There you are! Oh, something wrong with Maximals! Oh, they can't see. This will be easy.
Like I said before, that's going to do it for us here on the Beast Unleashed podcast. I'm sure Steve will find some way to revive himself for Episode 8, seeing as how it's covering a couple of his favorite episodes. So thank you for joining us here on the Beast Unleashed podcast. Several ways to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website geekcastradio.com, join the forums predaconempire.com/nexus, leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Thank you again, Godspeed, for the review. More people need to leave us reviews, please. You can follow us on Twitter. Beast Unleashed is the show Twitter. Mine is TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter?
Pecan Court Michael.
You can become a fan of ours on Facebook. Search Geekcast Radio Network. You can call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving a message for and your name. The number is 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast. Join us next time. We will be reviewing three more episodes from Beast Wars Season 1. Those being the supremely awesome episode Possession, the completely suck episodes of The Low Road and Law of the Jungle. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Michael Wilson.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.